Let's take our Bibles and we're going to go to Psalm 23, the last message in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, and we're going to sing together, we're going to read together Psalm 23. We'll get there in just a second. It's also good in church when we got visitors with us and guests, and I met you on the way in this morning. He drives truck from India, and he's only been here a short amount of time, and he tried to find a church this morning and showed up here. So awesome. Thank you for being here. Could you give me your name one more time? Nishant. And so thank you so much for being here. Let's welcome Nishant to our service today. And before you go, we have a gift bag for you too, but I'm grateful that you take time. Just got off work and came to church right after that. That's pretty awesome. So thanks for being here this morning. Psalm 23. We've spent 11 weeks here in Psalm 23, and today we are closing it out. Sometimes people ask me, well, where are we going next? I actually know where we're going next. And so it's going to be a 75-part sermon series. 75. Yeah, so it's going to be a year and a half. We're going to look at every psalm that David wrote. So we're going to start next week in Psalm 3, and I'll give the background of what is taking place, and then the psalm. We can't go 12 weeks per psalm because there's 70-something of them. If we did that, I'd be like 75 years old by the time we got done with it. So we'll try to spend 1 week per psalm, and it's all the psalms that David wrote, starting Psalm 3 next week. David penned the words in Psalm 23, where we've been. And my whole goal and my whole desire through this series in Psalm 23 is that you would remember how good God is. God is so good to us in all that he does. Psalm 23, let's read it there in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Does it end there? No, it doesn't end there. You'll notice there's one word, and, which joins it all together. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've seen over the past 11 weeks God's goodness pictured throughout. He's our good shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the right path. He restores my soul. When I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, he's right there with us in the midst of it. I don't have to fear evil because he's there. His rod and his staff, they comfort me and help me through life. Verse 5, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints our head with oil, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. And literally, our cup runs over. And it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And if it wasn't enough, God's goodness is seen in this psalm through our entire life. Now, whatever age you are today, I'm looking at the youngest in here. I think we got a 2 or 3 year old in here. And the oldest in here is 105. No, it's not quite that. 99. And so there's quite a wide range of ages in there. But verses 1 through the middle of verse 6 says that as a child of God and as you live this life, God's goodness is seen throughout your life. But I'm glad that it doesn't end with God's goodness and mercy following me just the days of my life. Because it says at the end there that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means God's goodness is not only for today and while you breathe here on earth. God's goodness extends past that, and God's goodness is for all eternity. Isn't that a blessing this morning? God's just not good to you while you live today. He's good to you forever. That's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to put into words because nothing is forever. Nothing's the same. Everything changes over time. But David, the psalmist here, looks at all that God's done in his life, and he says, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, heaven. Aren't you grateful for heaven this morning? You might have noticed, when we all get to heaven, we sang that this morning, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Heaven, we sang the hymn of heaven. What a day that will be. All we did was sing about heaven this morning. Heaven's a wonderful place. It's a place that God has for his children. I want to take a little bit of time today and end the series about God's goodness and talk about heaven, God's eternal goodness to you. As we start out, we see number one this morning, what is heaven? What is heaven? Many people have lots of different things they describe heaven as, right? You watch some movies and heaven's this big white spot where you are, right? Ever seen those movies? A God that's created all the colors and everything he's created, why would he just leave it white? There's so many better colors than just white. But you watch those movies and it's like heaven's just white. Heaven's a bunch of clouds. Everybody's playing their harps and they got their little wings and all that stuff like that. We read people that have written books about what heaven's like because they claim that they went to heaven. They make a lot of money off those books. You say, Pastor, do you believe that those people actually go to heaven and that they come back and do that? No. Say, why don't you believe that? Because the Bible's pretty clear. There's one example, and the example's very clear. Paul says there's someone that he knew, and he was referring to himself, but he wasn't saying it was him. There's someone I knew that went to the third heaven and couldn't even talk about the things he saw there. So there's no way. There's one example in the Bible, and the one who saw it all couldn't talk about it. And the one who could talk about it was John, saw those visions. God told him to write. So I think it's pretty clear that a lot of those books are just there to make money. It's a good story. Good thing like that. And you say, well, I believe they did. Then you go ahead. I just stick with what the Bible says about things and let the rest figure it out for itself. But what is heaven? We're all going to be sitting around doing nothing all the time, resting, watching our favorite sports teams play, riding horses, relaxing out by the river of life, eating fruit from the trees of life, walking streets of gold. Be a nice way to exercise, right? Streets of gold. Wouldn't trip on those things. It'd probably be just perfect, just right. What is heaven? You know, a lot of times we want to define heaven, but I think the Bible defines it perfectly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Listen to what it says. First couple verses of the chapter talk about how we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Verse 4 says, but God, who's rich in mercy, wherewith his great love he loved us. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit. Do you know what that phrase, made us sit? It means we're already seated in heavenly places. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm seated in heavenly places. Your seat's reserved. It's there because it's in Christ Jesus. It's already reserved. Now, look at the end of this here. No, go back real quick, Joe. Sorry. It says, we get 1 week without each other and see our frame of minds. We'll get back quick. It says, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is heaven? Look at verse 7. This is heaven. That in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. You want to define heaven? It's right there. What is God's goal in heaven? That he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. God's goodness on display for us. That's what heaven is. God wants to show us those things. When we look at that and we think on those thoughts, God wants to show his goodness throughout all ages to us. Not only has God been good to us in this life, in the life that we have, but in heaven, his goodness will be on full display for us while we're there in heaven. Why does God do this? You see, church, you'll never understand the goodness of God. You know, the fact that he went and died on a cross for us and displayed mercy, you and I, the only thing we deserve this morning is death and hell. That's the only thing we deserve. And Jesus says, I will take your death. I will take your hell. I will die on the cross, and I will give you mercy. All you have to do is come to me. Trust me. That's what salvation is. And God could have left it there. But God said no. As Johnny preached on last Sunday, he adopts us and brings us into his family. And he doesn't make us a second-rate citizen in his family. You get the inheritance just like the son does. You're important to God. And God makes heaven. And what is heaven all about? The fact that he wants to show his goodness and his kindness toward us through what Jesus did for us. That's what heaven's all about. What is heaven? First of all, letter A, it's a physical place, not a state of being. It's a physical place, not a state of being. Heaven is an actual, literal, real place. It has a location. It's like, well, is hell really real? Jesus said it was. The rich man opened his eyes in hell, right? Lazarus opened his eyes and he was in Abraham's bosom. Say, well, that was a parable. When a real name is used, it's not a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and there's no names involved. Heaven's a real place. It's a physical place. It's not make-believe. It's not, you know, it's not Narnia. It's not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, anything like that. It's real. The Bible says in John 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And look at the next verse, verse 3, and if, that word if means since, and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's a real place. In my Father's house. Father's house, another word for heaven. He uses the word kingdom of heaven. He uses paradise, talking about heaven. Something interesting to note, in the King James, it uses the word mansions there. That word means rooms. So some, don't get too excited like you're going to have a big old mansion. It means you got a spot and a room. Now, I don't care. In heaven, to be in heaven, give me a little shack on the little side. Actually, the weather's going to be perfect. Just give me a sleeping bag out on the grass, and I'll be just fine in heaven. Give me a tent in heaven. I'll be fine with that. Whatever. I'd be fine with that. But God has a place. It's a real place mentioned in Scripture. It's not make-believe. You see, if Jesus would have to be the greatest liar if there was not a real place called heaven. Because he says here, in my Father's house are many mansions. We're not so. I'm going, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. We look at our world today. You wonder, Lord, when are you coming? And he's coming. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, we're not willing that any should perish. The Lord is coming, and he's going to come like a thief in the night, and you don't know the day or the hour, and the world scoffs. You've been saying since the days of the prophets, he's coming, but he is coming, because he said so. And he's going to take us to be with him. Heaven is a real place, a physical place. Letter B, it's a permanent place that lasts forever. It's not just physical with a real location, it's also permanent. It's not going to get bulldozed in 10 years. They're not going to change the name of the place in 10 years. No new business is going in. It's always going to be heaven. Great example, just up the street on Riverside and Mountain. There's a Clark's store there. Everybody know that Clark's? It's going out of business. What was that Clark's before that? What was before Clark's? Ralph's. What was before Ralph's? Alpha Beta is what it was. That's a long time ago. I don't know what was before that. But buildings change. My parents, when I was a kid, they loved Fedco. If you know what Fedco is, then you know. I don't know why they loved it. I still don't know to this day why they loved it. We lived where we live now. And we'd drive all the way up to where the Ontario PD is now. That's the building, same building. That's where Fedco was. We'd drive up there just to go to Fedco. And I don't know what was so special. Anybody ever go to a Fedco? Was it special? Was there anything special about it? Was it worth driving 45 minutes to go to? It had everything. That's what Walmart does today. But, you know, but they liked it anyways. But that building's not the same anymore. You know, for me, growing up, my parents still live in the same house. I was, you know, basically born there. Someday there will be someone else living in that house other than my parents. And that's life. Everything changes. Heaven is eternal. It doesn't fade away. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Thank God for it. It's a permanent place. It's a physical place. Letter C, it's also a reserved place for only God's family. Not everyone can go. Heaven's not for everyone. Everybody's not going to be in heaven. If everybody could go to heaven, you would have backbiting, jealousy, gossip, sin, all those things. Heaven would be no different than earth, literally. Hell's going to be full of those things, but heaven's not going to be. Heaven is a reserved place. You get to choose, do you want to go or not? It all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. What do you, I believe when Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he asked them, who do the people say I am? And they gave lots of different answers. And then Jesus asked the question that matters to every person that enters this life. Who do you say that I am? And what you believe about Jesus is what determines if you're in heaven or you're in hell. You say, well, I'll get there. I'll get there my way. Doesn't work that way. I know Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. And I hope he is talking about not, I hope he wasn't talking about his eternal destination, because his own way is not going to get there. You can't do it on your own. You can't get there yourself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And this one says, no man comes unto the Father. No one does except through Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. It's a reserved place. Are you in the family of God? So how are we going to know? Do you know there's a guest list? You ever go somewhere? Sometimes we get a hotel on vacation. We get a hotel and things. And I just hope that they don't mess up on the reservation. Every once in a while, the reservations get messed up. A while back, we had a reservation. We went to this hotel. And when you got six people staying in a hotel room, you need a few beds for them, right? There's quite a bit of people. And they had changed it to a single bed in the room instead of two and then the couch. And they were out of everything else. And I'm like, I reserved this 2 months ago. How do you do this? But it's all that I had, so I took it and just lived with it and things like that. But I remember as a kid, we went on vacation, and we went through Phoenix. We were driving back from Phoenix, and there was something going on there. And we went to every hotel around, and they were all booked. And that was back before you could just do it on your phone. My parents didn't have phones in those days. It's a long time ago. And we finally got this hotel room. It was awful. There was a bullet hole in the window, and the bullet was actually on the floor. It was quite the room, we'll just say that. But when you stand before God and he opens up that book, is your name going to be in it? The Lamb's Book of Life? If you're a child of God, it will be. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of the abomination or make of the lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let's talk about that book for a minute. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. So those who are in Jesus are in Jesus' Book of Life. That's why it says we're kept by the power of God. It talks about we're in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. So when I get up there, and I think they'll know my name. Well, let's say, hey, what's your name? Oh, I'm Brian Pattison. They're going to look, and my name's going to be written on there because I've trusted in Jesus Christ. Is your name reserved? Is your name written in the Book of Life? See, because heaven's not for everybody. God didn't create hell for people. He created for the devil and his angels. And God wants everyone to come to repentance, right? But you choose. And in all reality, we could say all day long that God sends people to hell, but in all reality, people send themselves to hell by not trusting him. You choose. Christ and life. Know Christ and the wrath of God abides on you forever. Those are the two choices there. What is heaven? It's a permanent place. It's a physical place. Not only is it that, it's a reserved place. Number two this morning, how is heaven different from earth? Lots of ways. I've heard some groups of people say, we're already in heaven. If this is heaven, I don't want any part of that. I'll be like, no, thank you. This is what I get to be in for all eternity. No, I don't want that. How is heaven different from earth? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, when we look at verse 22, I'm going to tell you as we go through, look at what it says to begin with here. And I saw no temple therein. So there's no temple in heaven. So, well, why? Think with me for a minute. Why was there a temple in the first place? So God had a place to dwell with man, right? In heaven, there is no need for a temple. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Because they will be right there with us. So there's no temple. There'll be no church in heaven. None of those things. Because God himself is with his people there. That's what heaven is. Now look at this. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine on it. There's going to be no sun. There's going to be no moon. You're like, how is it going to be lit up? Well, it says right there, for the glory of God did shine, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Just, I picture Jesus walking around heaven and just bright everywhere. God walks around, it's just bright. Remember Moses when he saw the glory of God, what he could handle? And he comes down from the mountain, and the people are like, cover your face. We can't even look at you. It's like, put a face mask on, do something. They want him covered up. And that was a seeing part of it. That is seeing the glory of God. There's no sun, no moon. God lights the whole city. Look at the next verses there. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Look at this one. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. How many of you leave your gates open? You just leave it open all day. How many of you leave your doors unlocked? At the mission, that gate is always open. I don't know why it's always open. Yeah, Lamar, that's the problem. How many of you leave your doors unlocked? Why do you have a wall or a gate? To keep people out. Heaven's gate's going to be open all the time. It's only safe people going in. You won't have to lock your door in heaven. No one's going to steal anything. It'll be okay. Some of you are thinking, I'm still going to lock my door. The gate will be open all the time. Look at the next thing. There's still one at the bottom there, Joe. And there shall be no night there. Say, why will there be no night? I thought I was going to sleep in heaven. Everyone says rest in peace, and I thought I finally would get some sleep in heaven. I don't know that you're going to need to sleep in heaven, okay? But I know. I hear people all the time, God's going to let me do all my favorite things in heaven. One of my favorite, then maybe he'll let you take a nap, whatever the case may be. But I would encourage you that in your mansion, in your room, in whatever you have, you might want to get the best blackout blinds you can find. My parents do that. You walk into my parents' bedroom in the middle of the day, and it is like it is nighttime. They'll take a nap sometimes and think it's the middle of the night, and it's the middle of the afternoon because their room's that dark. They like it that dark to sleep. In heaven, you know why there's no night there? Think with me for it. What is darkness? The absence of light. So if God and Jesus are the light of the city, it means they're always there. And there's always light. Let's go to the next verse there. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven sounds like a pretty good place, doesn't it? What else is in heaven? What else is different from earth? Verse 4 of that same chapter says, God will wipe all tears from their eyes. You're like, but I cry happy tears sometimes. I don't know if those will, there may be, you can still have happy tears, I don't know. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Anybody wake up in pain this morning? Yeah, someday there will be no more pain. For the former things are passed away. Heaven, what a place. God's goodness on full display for all eternity for us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Heaven is a real place, a physical place. It's a permanent place. It's a reserved place. It differs from earth. And then number 3 this morning, what will we be doing in heaven? We're all going to be sitting around playing our harps in our white clothes and little halos on our heads. We're just going to do that all day long. Not quite. What will we be doing in heaven? First of all, letter A, we'll be reunited with those who love Jesus. We'll be in heaven with Jesus. Sang a little bit ago, when I get to look and see his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Think Think about those loved ones you've lost in life. You know, the younger you are, you've like put heaven in the background of everything. You're like, I know it's coming someday, but I want to live my life. I want to graduate high school. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want to do all these things. And then the older you get, all your loved ones are with Jesus, and you're like, I'm kind of longing for that now. Can't wait for that reunion day. We, on our trip, I think it was 46 was the total of us in one place, all the Osgood clan. There was two, Susie just had a baby, and then Maria and them are in Ghana. I think it would have been 62 if everyone was there, but it was 45. And you know, some of them I hadn't seen in almost 2 years. But when your family, and even I'm not family, I'm an in-law. But in the family, you all get together, it didn't take but like 2 minutes, and it felt like you were all together. We didn't go, you know, normally we'd get together, we'd be near her parents' house and things like that. We'd never all been in Tennessee together. We walked into this cabin we'd never been stepped foot in before, and it felt like home because everybody was there together. That's heaven. You ever go through life and you just feel like you just don't fit in and feel like it's just this world, the craziness in our world, it's like this world's just not my home. Do you know when you step foot in heaven for the first time, it's just going to feel like home. It's going to feel like you always belonged right there and like nothing else really mattered. And what a great reunion day that will be to see our loved ones, our parents that have passed, grandparents, loved ones that have passed, and to be reunited with them and with them again. People in Thessalonica, they were worried about what happens to our loved ones when they pass. And Paul gave them these words in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be, all of us together with the Lord. The very next verse says that we are to comfort one another with those words. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for that reunion day that's coming. Be one huge family reunion, a lot bigger than 46 people. Number two, the letter B, we will be rewarded for our faith and our hope and our love. You know, Jesus talks about being rewarded a lot, doesn't he? Through the parables. There are rewards in heaven. What are we going to do with our rewards? We're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said in John 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Talks about in Hebrews 10:35, that great recompense of reward. 1 Peter 1, verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, you look at it, that's hard for us to comprehend. I mentioned earlier, so my dad, when he started using some of his retirement, he saved up for retirement. At 70, he started using it. Well, one of the things about when you have your retirement, whatever things you got it in, a lot of times, like his was in the stock market with things. So it's either going to go up, and every day it could change. And I remember when he first started taking money, he saw the first day it lost like $300. Then the next day it lost two, but then the next day it gained four. It was bouncing all over the place. And he had to quit looking at it. And 12 years after retirement, the money's gone. He's 82. But with the Lord, you have an inheritance, incorruptible. No one can corrupt it or take it. It's undefiled, and it fades not away. It's reserved in heaven just for you. I love the next verse that comes from Matthew 25, verse 34. It says, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, and look at what it says here, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There are only a few times in the Bible that phrase foundation of the world is used, right? You have the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You have the facts that we're saved from before the foundation of the world. And we have this place prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Before God ever said, let there be light, or created anything in this world, God knew that Jesus would have to die for the sins of mankind. At that same time, according to the foreknowledge of God, God knew every person who would ever trust in him and call on him for salvation. And God, before the foundation of the world, already had your inheritance ready, waiting for you to go, ready up there for you to come. Heaven. God wants to show us the riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Man, if Psalm 23 ended with "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," I would say, "Thank you, Lord," and that's way more than what I deserve. Thank you, thank you, thank you.